From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We're delighted that you have joined us for Let the Bible Speak. In a few minutes, we'll be hearing from Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, as he brings the next portion of a message entitled The Holy War of Sanctification, part of this series in the book of Joshua. The text is verses 17 and 18 of chapter 17. By this point, the children of Israel had completed the conquest of Canaan, yet each tribe still had to possess the land that had been allotted to them, for in each case pockets of resistance remained. In our text, Joshua exhorts the tribes of Joseph, Ephraim, and Manasseh, saying, Thou shalt drive out the Canaanites, though they have chariots of iron, and though they be strong. In the course of this message, Dr. Cairns is applying these words to the Christian life. Those who truly know Christ as their Savior still have to battle against sin throughout their earthly lives. These are the Canaanites, whose presence is a source of grief to every believer. Some of them are deeply entrenched, symbolized by the iron chariots, and much effort is required to drive them out. Like the Canaanites, these sins should be driven out, for sin is the enemy of every Christian. The command to Israel was, drive out all of them. And so it must be for the individual child of God. There must be no toying with sin. Rather, the believer is to flee from it. We are in an unremitting war against sin. Dr. Cairns will continue the message in a few minutes. First, please enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's text is found in Ruth, chapter 1, verse 14. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. Both of them had an affection for Naomi, and therefore set out with her upon her return to the land of Judah. But the hour of test came. Naomi most unselfishly set before each of them the trials which awaited them, and bade them, if they cared for ease and comfort, to return to their Moabitish friends. At first, both of them declared that they would cast in their lot with the Lord's people. But upon still further consideration, Orpah, with much grief and a respectful kiss, left her mother-in-law and her people and her God, and went back to her idolatrous friends, while Ruth, with all her heart, gave herself up to the God of her mother-in-law. It is one thing to love the ways of the Lord when all is fair, and quite another to cleave to them under all discouragements and difficulties. The kiss of outward profession is very cheap and easy, but the practical cleaving to the Lord, which must show itself in holy decision for truth and holiness, is not so small a matter. How stands the case with us? Is our heart fixed upon Jesus? Is the sacrifice bound with cords to the horns of the altar? Have we counted the cost? And are we solemnly ready to suffer all worldly loss for the Master's sake? The after gain will be an abundant recompense, for Egypt's treasures are not to be compared with the glory to be revealed. Orpah is heard of no more. In glorious ease and idolatrous pleasure, her life melts into the gloom of death. But Ruth lives in history and in heaven, for grace has placed her in the noble line from whence sprung the King of Kings. Blessed among women shall those be who for Christ's sake can renounce all. But forgotten, and worse than forgotten, shall be those who in the hour of temptation do violence to conscience and turn back unto the world. Oh, that this morning we may not be content with the form of devotion, which may be no better than Orpah's kiss, but may the Holy Spirit work in us a cleaving of our whole heart to our Lord Jesus.
Thank you.
Jesus, I love thee, I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. Thy gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, is thine.
I love thee because thou hast first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. I love thee for wearing the thorns on thy brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, is
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. We've been particularly encouraged by the response to the program content and the format. So if you have written to say that the Lord has blessed you, or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then take our thanks for taking time to do so. And if you haven't yet done so, we would be delighted to hear from you. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular postal mail. You may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. As you can see, it's easy to contact us. Also, if you enjoy the program, you might like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you and that you'll join us on our website this week.
Must see that sin is our enemy. Peter said in 1 Peter 2:11, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul." Lusts war against the soul. We are, as God's Israel, in a battle with the Canaanite tribes of our own sins. And Peter tells us, remember, they are not innocuous little sins. They are deadly enemies that are warring against your soul. And of course, some sins are particularly powerfully entrenched. I have mentioned the chariots that some of the Canaanites had as they went against the children of Israel. Chariots could attack swiftly, and of course they could inflict awful damage. It's true in the spiritual realm. There are sins which are particularly powerful. There are sins which can attack us very, very swiftly. There are sins which, having done so, can inflict awful damage, sometimes lifelong damage. You think of David's negligence and lust, but God inflicted a penalty on that sin. It was so great that David would far, far, far rather have been asked to give his own life in exchange. For from that point the sword never departed from the house of David. Shame and disgrace, wickedness, decimated his house and family, the result of sin. It was a chariot sin, came with sudden devastation. You think of Peter, his carnal confidence. Though all men forsake you, I'll never forsake you. I'm a man, not a wimp. These other fellows may turn their back, but you can depend on me, Lord. I'll never turn my back. He first to do it. The first to do it. And to add insult to injury, he didn't do it at the edge of a sword. He didn't do it facing a pit of snakes or a cave of lions. No, he did it when the tinkling voice of a little girl said, "I think you're one of his disciples." Carnal confidence led to faithless fear. There are sins which are particularly strongly entrenched. There are sins which present a particular threat to individuals. Let every man among us, let every woman among us know himself or herself. Know yourself. Paul said to the Hebrews, "Let us lay aside every sin and the weight," or "every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us." He may well have been speaking of the sin of unbelief besetting us all, but I think there is also in that command of the apostles, there is the thought. Every one of us needs to understand there is a sin or a series of sins which are more likely than others to overtake us. There are sins that may present a terrible problem to you that present no problem to me at all. I am not going to be tripped up by drugs or alcohol. That's not a problem for me. I'm not going to get hooked on the tobacco weed. It's not a problem for me. Even as a teenager, I could never understand why grown men would want to give away good money just to see it go up in smoke. It did seem to me to be one of the rather more crazy things. I understand the spoof that the American comedian Bob Newhart did on this, and it seemed to me, just to put it right in perspective, when he was giving a monologue as if he were a man in London answering Sir Walter Raleigh, as he was trying to sell him by telephone, which didn't exist, of course, to trying to sell him on this business of the tobacco weed. He said, "What is this, Walt? What is this? This is something, and you wrap it up and you set it on fire. Let me guess what you do with it. You stick it in your ear. You put it in your mouth." That's the way I sort of felt with this sort of thing. You have to be a Walter Raleigh had to be a sort of a lunatic to think that this was going to do you good. No, that's not my problem. But then you see, the things that would be my problem may not be your problem. The things that would trip me up are things possibly that would not trip you up. Though there are some of you, and I think you can well appreciate what I say, because I know there are others here who are just as bad as I am in this. I have certain books I've told you before, and I allocate them to when I'm on vacation, because they're rather large books. They take a long, long time to read, especially if you read at the speed at which I read. Joan and I are reading a letter together. She's in about page 4 before I'm at the bottom of page 1. So I daren't allow myself to read those things on an ongoing basis, because they would become sin to me. They would keep me from reading God's Word. They would keep me from prayer. They would keep me from preparation. They would keep me from going on with God. So that things that in themselves are perfectly legitimate would become a snare of the devil. We all have our own particular weaknesses. Things that, like a long garment twining itself around our legs and tripping us up and stopping our forward progress. Lay aside every weight and remember to pay particular attention to that sin which easily besets you. Know yourself. Know yourself. The converted alcoholic should not say, well, now thank God I'm converted, so I don't need to worry, and go and put himself in the place of danger where the stench of alcohol is in his nostrils and where there are some of the devil's fools sticking the devil's liquor under his nose and trying to get him to drink it. He shouldn't do it. The man who's been saved out of drug abuse shouldn't put himself back into that place where the temptation is set before him. The person who's been saved out of an immoral lifestyle should thank God, but he should walk very carefully and very purely and keep himself out of that. Not expose himself, whether by magazine, by newspaper, by television, by radio, or by anything else, to the impurities which are everywhere around us in these days. Many years ago, from the firm that supplies us with our copying material, and a copier and all that goes with it, a young man come to do this service. At that time, the copier was in my office at home for the very good reason we didn't have an office at church. And he came in, and we got to talking, and he told me his testimony. He was a saved fella. He said he'd been saved for, I forget, it was either 10 or 12 years. And as we were talking, he was saying about one of the great difficulties of his job. He liked his job. He was able to get around and go to various places and meet various people. But he said, there's one thing that I have difficulty with. He said, I go into many of these places and they're blasting rock music at me. I says, maybe to you that doesn't do anything. But you see, he said, for years I was deep into this stuff. It was my whole life. Controlled me. God has saved me. He says, but every time I hear that old stuff that was so much my life in the old days, it just brings back all the associations, all the filth, all the wickedness, all the sin. It's a big problem for him. I'll tell you, in his position, to me, that would have been, if I'd been in his position, that would have been such a problem. I would have changed my job rather than continue. Now, it's easy for people like me to say to him, clap on the back and say, hey, the Lord will give you victory. I never did listen to the stuff. It's not because I'm not a great musician. That may be one reason why I didn't, but as a young Christian, I well remember the first time the Beatles came to Belfast. Actually, I was teaching Joan to drive, I think. And we were driving along, and I saw this big sign up in a cinema, actually it was at that time, downtown Belfast. They were coming for this live performance of the Beatles. Now, by this time, by the time they got to Belfast, they had to be world-renowned. I mean, they didn't come to Belfast just on their way up. They had to be world-renowned by the time they got there. I looked at it, I thought, this was some new kind of insect. Who or what on earth are the Beatles? So you can see, I wasn't big in the stuff at all. So it's easy for me to say to him, oh, God will give you deliverance. Yes, God will give you deliverance. When you put your hand in the fire, don't ask God to stop your hand getting blistered. If you don't want it blistered, keep it out of the fire. There are certain sins that have a particular fascination. And it's very easy to temporize. It's very easy to explain these things away. It's very easy to come to terms with our sin. We are called to unremitting war against sin. Paul said to Timothy, 1 Timothy 6, verses 11 and 12, O man of God, flee these things. That's the first thing. Flee. You know what's wrong with so many Christians? You know why they're backsliding? You know why they have no spiritual power in their lives? It's because they're dawdling in the presence of sin. They're hanging around the scene of sin. They're laying themselves open to the attacks of sin. Paul says to Timothy, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. I want you to see the order. You cannot follow Christ unless you're fleeing from sin, for they're going in opposite directions.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.